Last name. Amen. Hopefully you'll know this song. Kris Kristofferson, he wrote it. And basically it's a simple prayer. So if you know it, sing along with me. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you, or the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted. I know what I am, and now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I could ever all I've taken from you. Tell me, Lord, I can show someone else what I've gone through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted. I know what I am, and now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands. Sing it with me. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it so, help. I know what I am, and now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Yes, Lord Jesus, our soul's in your hand.
Ways back there. All ready?
Lord, I want to be so good and do everything I should, but you know sometimes I wander off the trail. I go there, I go right, out of your guiding light. But you need me back, faithful when I fail. Sometimes I need a bit of bridle. I need my rebel spirit broken. I need to let you hold. If I choose to spend one day out of your word doing what I please, but if thou will be done, well, I'm a fool.
Audie is out today, and we sure miss him. But that's not going to stop us from worshiping. So you guys have been too lazy already. So get on up. We're going to fly away. Let's see your wings. What a beautiful day we have. And a gorgeous weekend. Let's make the most of it. Bible says, I'll never leave or forsake you. I know it says that a couple of places in the Bible. This song touches on that. I know it says I, but when I sing this, I'm really meaning God, our Father. He's never going to take us somewhere that he doesn't help us through. We're never going to get ourselves into messes that he won't help us through. He's always got our back. I hope this song touches you.
So when you're feeling low and you just don't know where to run to, broke, if your heart's been broke and you feel like you're all alone, if you need something to believe in, if you're looking for to guide you home, just look inside. Your light is shining brighter than you know. You should know I'm never gonna let you down, always gonna build you up. And when you're feeling lost, I will always find your love. I'm never gonna walk away, I'm always gonna have your back. And if nothing else, you can always count on that. When you need me, I promise I will never let you down. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
close. I will hold you close. You won't be alone anymore. If you need someone to believe in, if you're reaching for a hand to guide you home, just take my hand and I won't let you go. I hope you know I'm never gonna let you down. Always gonna build you up. When you're feeling lost, I will always find you, love. I'm never gonna walk away. I'm always gonna have your back. And if nothing else, you can always count on that. When you need me, I promise I will never let you down. Nothing else, you can always count on that. When you need me, I promise I will never let you down. Ooh, ooh, ain't never gonna let you down.
God bless y'all.
Thank you, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? All right. You can hear me now? All right. Turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Toward the end of the New Testament. And this passage is often called the Hall of Faith passage. I want to wish everybody a happy and safe Memorial Day weekend. And I pray that you take time in your heart to thank the Lord for all those that have given their life. Like the country song, all gave some, but some gave all. And this is a time to remember those who gave it all so that we could come and have such a cush life in America. Amen? But this morning, what I want us to look at is turning it to spiritual matters to see what about all those men and women who gave their all for the faith so that you and I in the 21st century could actually experience the gospel. And sometimes we don't take time to think about all the men and women that the message of Jesus had to pass through just to get to us. And then the flip side of that, if we're not faithful in sharing and living out the good news of Jesus, what about those if the Lord doesn't come 2,000 years from now and that the message has to go through us, this generation, to pass on to the next generations and to make sure that the gospel is not distorted, that it is grace and grace alone. So, this morning I want us to look, and there's a few Sundays each year that I will focus on the same text, and this is one of those Sundays. Last Memorial Day we talked out of Hebrews 11. But I think it's a good thing for us to go back and read our ancestry of faith so that we can remember as we look back. In verse 1 of Hebrews 11 it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed and at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did, and by faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. And even though he did not know where he was going, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did raise Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin even for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left. Let me pause right there. Notice how many times it says they were looking ahead, looking ahead. How many of us get disgruntled at God because we want it now? We want it now, and we throw our little temper tantrums to God. Anybody guilty of that? Yeah. But notice they were looking ahead. By faith, he left Egypt not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, would not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them, They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all committed for their faith, yet none of them received what they had promised. What had been promised, God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And all God's people said. When you just read that without any additions that I may add, when you read that chapter, it's a lot different kind of faith than what I see a lot in church. Amen? I mean, you see these men and women, they were willing to be sacrificed. They were willing to be mistreated. They were willing to be persecuted. They were willing to always be committed to God's future in them, not their own future that they had created. And yet you look at some of the stuff that goes on in American Christianity, and you just, it's embarrassing as a Christian to hear what Christians argue about. From the padded pews or the color of the carpet, it's all cliche. We've heard it so much. And because we haven't matured in our faith and we have taken our eyes off the end goal. Amen? And so, the first thing I want us to mention this morning is the foundations of faith. This chapter 11 is really the foundation of faith, that we are building on what has already been laid down. We get to build on what they started generations ago for future generations and for eternity. When we lose track, we need to remember the foundations that have been laid. And if you've been in construction, how important is the foundation to the rest of the building? It's everything, right? It's everything. I remember my office there at the treatment center, they were putting a detox unit in. And man, I didn't think they were ever going to get the foundation finished. And the rest of it come up like that. But what happens if you don't take time to build firm foundations? You're setting yourself up for failure. And what I see so much in America is what I see so much in American Christianity. We have separated ourselves from the foundations of faith given to us in Scripture. And what happens when the walls and the ceilings begin to separate from the foundation? It will fall. It will fall. And the reason that we see such a watered-down Christianity in America is because we have separated ourselves from the foundations of faith. We've made it about us and not about who? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. And here's the other thing. We have in America, we've put our patriotism on par with our faith. And I think that's a sin. Because, make no mistake, if the Lord doesn't return, one day in the future, America will fall. Now, that's not prophetic or being doomsday, but you look back and people often go, oh, no, we're too great. That's what they would have said back years ago in the Roman Empire. But where is the Roman Empire today? In ashes and in dust. But we've put ourselves on par, and we've confused patriotism with faith. Now, there's no more person that's more proud to be an American. As the song says, where at least I know I'm free. But you know what? I'm still going to be a Christian if America isn't here anymore. And we need to be grateful this weekend. We need to be grateful this weekend for the men and women who have sacrificed their lives for this nation that we often take for granted and that we're seeing every day being taken more and more for granted. Amen? But we also need to take time out to thank the men and women of our faith who through them, God has allowed his message of the good news to pass to our generation. Amen? Because the kingdoms and the countries of this world will pass away, but Jesus says, my word shall not pass away. It will last forever. We must never think that we have done it ourselves or that we're doing it alone. Because what God did through previous generations, guess what? God wants to do through us. And we get the privilege to join in the work that God was doing previously through these men and women. We are called to be faithful in our generation like they were in their generation. What they faced back then, we face today. The hot button topics that we often see on Fox and CNN, these are not new things because there's nothing new under the sun. There are issues that may be new to us because we've never been confronted with them or have to think through our faith about them, but they're not new to the world because the human heart hasn't changed since the garden. Does that make sense? But we need to be prepared. And the reason I think that so many of us are not prepared is because we focus on what we want to do. And we will focus on what future we want rather than the future God wants for us. Martin Luther King says this, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase." Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. How many of us fail in our faith because we lose the fear? Everybody can raise their hand to that. That's been all of us. Fear is a powerful enemy. But when we step in our faith, we are tapping into God's strength. Amen? And notice in Hebrews chapter 11:1 says, "Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof or the evidence of what is not seen." What God is calling us to is not a blind faith, which I think is quite dangerous. It's why people fly planes into towers. They have no reason for what they're doing, but they think they're doing it for a good cause. No, that's not Christian faith. Christian faith is based on evidence. It's not faith or reason. It's faith and reason. Amen? Number two, we see not only the foundations of faith, but in this chapter we also see faithful examples. Men and women look fear in the face through and from their faith to do God's will. Now, a lot of times we want to paint these men and women of old as if they had no fear whatsoever. No, it's not that they didn't have fear. It's what they choose to do with their fear in their faith. Amen? It's what they chose to do with their fear through their faith. They follow the Lord through the improbable and the impossible. They chose to follow the Lord through the improbable and impossible. They trusted God over their feelings, and all God's people said, amen. They trusted God over their feelings. And what I've seen so much in, I'll speak again, American Christianity, is so feelings-oriented. Because that's so much what our society is. And we think, oh, we're going to come to church and everything's about feeling good and the warm fuzzies. No. No, it's not that way at all. We got to grow up, right? And we got to start using our mind. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He didn't say nothing about feelings in there, did it? But we're all feelings-oriented, and feelings have their proper place, but faith is greater than our feelings. It's based on what we can know, truth. Now imagine being Noah, and God saying, Noah, there's going to be a deluge. There's going to be a flood waters. They'd never seen anything like that before. And he says, guess what, Noah? Not only is there going to be water like you've never seen, it's going to flood. And you're going to have to build not just a boat, but a very big boat. And guess what? I'm going to direct creation, the animals by twos, to come. Now, if you don't think Noah didn't have a few questions for God, you're out your mind. I bet he was hoping there was a fifth Sunday so he had a question for God Sunday, right? Can you imagine the type of faith? And sometimes we, again, I want us to remind ourselves, we got to quit painting the men and women of the Bible as these super spiritual people. They weren't. They were just like you and I with tons of questions, but they pushed through because of their faith. Does that make sense? Yeah, it took him a long time, about I think 90 years. Yeah, it wasn't a fast process. That's right. So then think about Moses, right? Moses is going back to Egypt to risk his neck because God says, hey, you're the man to lead my people to freedom. He goes through all the 10 plagues, right? He leads the people out. And guess what? He leads them under God's direction to be penned in between Pharaoh and the Red Sea. Now, do you think at some point, and the Israelites were kind of like us, we whine and cry a lot, right? Why did you bring us out here so we could die? Why couldn't we just stayed in slavery? And so he brought the children of Israel out, and they got between Pharaoh and the Red Sea. And don't you know, as Moses was crossing over the horizon to see the Red Sea in his path as they were fleeing from Pharaoh, don't you know he wanted to go, hey, God, got a question. Where's that ark again? Right? Thinking about Noah's day. But God directed their path. Anybody had God direct your path where you felt hemmed in and you didn't know how you're going to get out of it? But God provided a way. Because as Tracy just sang, I'm never going to leave you nor will I abandon you. And what happened? By the blast of God's nostrils, he began to part the Red Sea and they crossed as if on dry land. And don't you know, when that first molecule of H2O began to separate itself from others, Moses was thinking, thank you, Lord. Otherwise, he's going to have a lot of hacked off Israelites on his hands, right? But God provided a way. In the same way, God will provide a way for us. But we must trust him through the improbable and impossible. Their lives were committed to Christ and to his future for them, not their future for themselves. How many of us, and we've talked about this in Round Pen the last couple of Wednesday nights, how many of us basically treat God as a servant, going, God, got this idea, need you to get behind it, right? And oh, by the way, chop, chop. How many of us have done that? Don't act that spiritual, because I've been around some of y'all, right? You know what I'm talking about. We get an idea, and then we want God to bless it and get behind it and make it something great. And we've never considered that it may not be God's agenda for us. It may not be God's future for us. We need to be praying, God, lead me into the future you would have for me, not into some future I may try to self-create. Amen? Now, I always get her name, Maya Angelou. Say it again. That's right. My tongue won't say that. Let gratitude be the pillow upon which you kneel to say your nightly prayer. And let faith be the bridge you build to overcome evil and welcome good. I'm going to read it again. Let gratitude be the pillow upon which you kneel to say your nightly prayer. And let faith be the bridge you build to overcome evil and welcome good. And the last thing. Honorable legacies. When we read this chapter, we see honorable legacies. And you'll hear people often ask, you know, what kind of dash are you going to leave behind? You know, that dash between your birth date and your death date. What legacy you're going to leave behind? And the truth of it is, I don't care if anybody remembers who Jeff Jackson is. I hope that my life can promote who Jesus is so that in the year 4019, if the Lord hasn't returned, because of the efforts that are made here at Bull Creek Cowboy Church, that people in the future will know who Jesus is, because I don't care if they know who we are, amen? When we look at these names, Moses, Noah, Enoch, David, Samson, we find inspiration in their stories. And you know why we find inspiration? It's because we can see ourselves in their failures at times, amen? Man, I'm going to hug Peter's neck and David's neck for their mess-ups. Because you know what? I can relate to their failures. But oftentimes we're looking for all this super positive, cotton candy kind of Christianity. And you won't find it in the scripture. We find inspiration when we are going through failure, when we can relate to the men and women who have failed before us. And we can also find inspiration in our lives when we look to the men and women who have succeeded in their faith before us. Not because they were without failure, but God led them through failure. We find strength in their struggle. I mean, yes, has the tide changed a lot in America about how people accept Christians and Christianity? You betcha. But are we getting persecuted in the sense of being chased down and flogged to death and burned at the stake? No. Are there right now brothers and sisters of our faith in parts of the world that are actually experiencing that? You betcha they are. And we come and get so twisted off over the little things. Amen? It makes no sense. It makes no sense. We, in these honorable legacies, ought to also find gratitude in their service, because it's through their contribution that the message has reached not only the ends of the world, but also our generation. So I want to close this morning with a few of those that we may need to remember, that we should remember, who helped kick our faith off and had influence in the faith through their sacrifice. The first one I'll mention is Stephen. You'll find him in Acts chapter 6 and 7. Gives us the account of his martyrdom. Stephen is considered one of the first Christian martyrs after Christ himself. Stephen was speaking the truth of Jesus Christ. However, his words offended the listeners, and they put together a council that brought false witness to the things Stephen was saying. Stephen proclaimed that God's own people were at fault for suppressing the prophets' call to righteousness. They even killed the Holy One, Jesus Christ. Their reaction was to gnash on him with their teeth, which means they were highly hacked off. They ran Stephen out of the city and stoned him. Yet Stephen patiently accepted the persecution that was given to him. Stephen asked the Lord not to hold them guilty who had stoned him. He essentially repeated Christ's words on the cross. Is that you or is that me this morning? Andrew was one of the first disciples of Christ. He was previously a disciple of John. And Andrew was the brother of the boisterous Simon Peter. After the biblical record of Andrew's life, he went on to preach around the Black Sea and was influential in starting several churches. He was the founder of the church in Byzantium or Constantinople. That's where they moved the capital in the Roman Empire. Tradition says that Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross on the northern coast of the Peloponnese. Early writings state that the cross was actually a Latin cross like the one Jesus was crucified upon. But the traditional story says that Andrew refused to be crucified in the same manner as Christ because he was not worthy. Think about this. You're about to be crucified, and your biggest concern right then is to make sure that I'm not crucified in the same way as the Lord because I'm not worthy of him. Not the fact that you're about to be crucified. Simon Peter. I read that, and it's pretty convicting because I'd be like, hold up. It's not a question of whether I should be crucified like Jesus. I don't want to be crucified, right? Brought to Christ, Simon Peter brought to Christ by his brother Andrew. Peter is known as the disciple who spoke often before he thought. I relate to that. So do some of y'all. After Christ's death, Peter was the fiery preacher prominently seen in the first half of the book of Acts. He founded the church at Antioch and traveled preaching mainly to Jews about Jesus. Peter was martyred under Nero's reign, who was a very famous and wicked Roman emperor. He was killed in Rome around the year 64 to 67 AD. Tradition holds that he was crucified upside down. Like Andrew, his brother, he's said to have refused to be crucified in the same manner as Christ because he was unworthy to be executed in the same way as the Lord. Polycarp may not have heard of him, but he's one of the early church fathers. As with many people in the early centuries, Polycarp's exact birth and death dates are not known. Even his date of martyrdom is disputed, though it was sometime around between AD 155 and 167. Polycarp was probably a disciple of the Apostle John, who wrote the books of the Gospel of John, the three epistles of John, and the book of Revelation. Polycarp may have been one of the chief people responsible for compiling the New Testament of the Bible as we have it today. Because of his refusal to burn incense to the Roman emperor, and part of being a Roman emperor is you were believed to be divine and they would worship you. So if the reason we get the phrase, Jesus is Lord, you must confess Christ is Lord, it was directly in rebuttal to the confession of saying Caesar is Lord. So that's a little backdrop. Because of his refusal to burn incense to the Roman emperor, he was sentenced to burn at the stake. Tradition says the flames did not kill him, so he was stabbed to death. Wycliffe, known as the morning star of the Reformation, John Wycliffe was a 14th century theologian. He is probably best remembered as a translator of scriptures. He believed that the Bible should be available to the people in their common tongue, and he translated the Latin Vulgate into common English. He was persecuted for his stand against papal authority, which is the Pope. While he was not burned at the stake as a martyr, his persecution extended beyond his death. His body was exhumed and burned along with many of his writings. The anti-Wycliffe statute of 1401 brought persecution to his followers and specifically addressed the fact that there should not be any translation of Scripture into English. You got to be pretty hacked off to want to dig a guy up and then burn him. John Huss. Huss was a Czech priest who was burned at the stake for heresy against the doctrines of the Catholic Church. Particularly, he fought against the doctrines of ecclesiology and the Eucharist that's taught by the Roman Catholic Church. He was an early reformer living before the time of Luther and Calvin, who were also part of the Reformation. Huss was martyred on July 6, 1415. He refused to recant his position of the charges that were brought against him. And on the day he died, he is said to have stated, "God is my witness that the things charged against me I never preached, in the same truth of the gospel which I have written, taught, and preached, drawing upon the sayings and positions of the holy doctors, I am ready to die today." William Tyndale. Most known for his translation of the Bible into English, William Tyndale was a reformer who stood against many teachings of the Catholic Church and opposed King Henry VIII's divorce, which was one of the major issues in the Reformation. Tyndale's English translation of the Bible was the first to draw significantly from the original languages. Tyndale was choked to death while tied to the stake, and then his dead body was burned. The date of commemoration of Tyndale's martyrdom is October 6, 1536, but he probably died a few weeks earlier than that. Bonhoeffer was executed on June 9, 1945. He was executed because of his involvement in the July 20th plot to kill Adolf Hitler. Bonhoeffer staunchly opposed Hitler's treatment of the Jews, and as a Christian pastor, he could not sit idly by and watch the murder of so many men and women. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was hanged just 2 weeks before soldiers from the United States liberated the concentration camp in which he was held. And if you've ever studied anything about Bonhoeffer, it says when he walked to the gallows, they put a wire around his neck, and the soldier said, "I see you've come to your end." And he said, "Yes, I've come to my end, but for me, it is just the beginning. It is just the beginning." You can read the last few on your own if you want. The truth of it is, we've had many men and women who have fought the faith in love, not with sword, and have preached the good news when it wasn't favorable, so that you and I could sit and hear the good news of Jesus and have assurance of salvation. Because God, what God started in the Scriptures, He is still on mission today, using ordinary men and women who are willing to be faithful to Him in all things. So not only do we need to share and spread the faith to the people who are living today, but also consider how God has used generations before us to bring His message to us, and that may God use us so that if the Lord doesn't return 2,000 years from now, may there be people sitting somewhere preaching and singing about the gospel of Jesus for what He's done through our generation. Amen? Memorial Day. Take time this weekend to thank the Lord for the men and women who died, for the freedoms that we have. And thank the Lord for the men and women who had to die because they were willing to share their faith and be the light of the world when Satan's armies have attempted to snuff them out. But the light would not die. Amen? Let's close with prayer. Lord Jesus, we do thank You for today. And we thank You for the men and women, Lord, who have been soldiers of this country, who have lay down their life, Lord, that we may enjoy the freedoms, and may we never take them for granted. And thank You, Lord, that You have given us this opportunity to together in such a very luxurious place here with air conditioning and padded seats, Lord, to come and to celebrate You. And we thank You, Lord, for the soldiers of the cross who've laid down their life in love. Lord, for this good news to travel through the ages and across seas. Lord, that we may hear the good news of Jesus, and thank You for our eternal life. I just pray, God, that You would place in our heart a burden and a sense of gratitude today for all that You've done, are doing, and will do if we follow You in faith. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great weekend and be safe.